station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday. It's January 11th.
This week just flew.
It really did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm all for the weekend.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're going to have a phone guest later this show.
I think we have two, don't we?
Do we? Oh, the one you...
Yes.
Yeah, the one you set up at... okay, good, good. Yeah, so we have... Okay, well, I'll tell you. My guest is a former topless dancer. So she wrote a book. She's going to tell us about it and stuff.
Okay.
And then your guest?
My guest is a friend of mine who actually was on Fear Factor a couple of years back. Mm. But he is doing this race, the 3,000-mile race across the U.S.
3,000 miles.
Yes. Wow. Kind of crazy. And it actually... the finish line is in Maryland. So
really?
In Ocean City, Maryland. Yeah, so we'll have him on and discuss how crazy he really is.
Yeah. How many people are doing this? Just him?
I don't know. No, yeah. There's several. There's lots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll hear from him the whole diddly-dally.
Okay, sounds good.
The insanity.
Yeah.
Because I sure couldn't do that.
No. Do you believe how cold and windy it was yesterday? I was freezing.
It said it was actually going to be really cold this entire week. I believe it was going to be in the 40s.
Right.
40s, 50s.
But you know what? I can handle it. But when it's windy and cold,
yeah.
Wow, man. You know, then you get the wind chill factor and everything. And I'm going, I couldn't even step outside. It was so freaking cold.
You're such a baby.
Shut up.
I'm like, whatever. I kind of like it. I mean, in a way, I miss the seasons changing a little bit on the east. Uh-huh. Even though I don't ever want to live there.
Yeah.
But, again, but I do, you know, miss a little bit. I got my dabble of snow in Tahoe.
Yeah.
And I'll get some more when I go away in February.
Okay. Well, the thing is that it's been very dry here.
Yeah.
But people driving on the I-5, like the Grapevine and stuff.
Yeah,
I did.
Snowing on the Grapevine. They
snowing
were
freaking and
out.
Icy, and they just stopped the traffic.
It was ridiculous.
And these people are sitting there for hours, and I'm going, oh, my God, if this happened to me.
I would go ballistic.
Yeah, I would go crazy.
I'd be like, can someone fly a helicopter here to pick up my car?
Right.
And take me somewhere.
I know. I mean, the cameras, the TV crews were actually talking to the drivers who were just sitting there.
Yeah.
And this guy goes, I can't believe this is happening.
It's just ridiculous. It wouldn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah.
Nowhere else. I mean, because like any time it snows on the East Coast, you drive.
Really?
Anyway.
Even on interstate roads and stuff?
Yeah. Absolutely. They don't shut down roads when it snows. Are you kidding me? Like, that's just...
How do you drive in the snow?
Everyone has four-wheel drive, pretty
much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not prepared for it.
Or snow tires.
Why. Okay.
Yeah,
we're
but here's the thing.
We're not prepared for it.
If you're driving through the Grapevine and you're going up north or vice versa and you know it's cold and you know it's snow season, wouldn't you check the weather before? I mean, when you're going on a trip, don't you usually check the weather?
Yeah, but the weather forecasts are always wrong, you know. I would count
too much. Then it's your own damn fault for getting stuck up there. You know, I don't know.
What if someone's not planning a trip? They're just going to the next town or
something. I'm sure they listen to the weather.
Mm.
Or it's on your radio in the morning, and they say, chance of snow.
Yeah.
And if you're the moron that decides to drive in it and not get snow tires or whatever, actually, then that's your problem.
I don't even think they sell snow tires out here.
They do up north.
They just
absolutely.
Have chains and shit.
Chains, such crap. But, I mean, all right, Kevin, I had to use – well, I didn't have four-wheel drive in my car. But I've driven my car, which is a mini SUV. It's a Honda Element.
Right.
Which I had the option of getting four-wheel drive.
Four-wheel drive.
But I chose the sport package instead.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell? You're in California.
I know. But I've still driven it every single year. It doesn't stop me to Park City for Sundance every year. And, yeah, I drive through the snow. Yeah, I had to put chains on it to get up a hill once.
Yeah.
Or twice, but I mean, it works. You put the chains on, bam, you're golden.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I grew up driving in the snow. It means nothing.
That's true, yeah.
I used to be like, yeah, it's how fast can we go? Just watch out for the deer.
Yeah. I know, it's been snowing everywhere, man. I mean, shit, you know. Even
good.
I saw pictures of Jerusalem covered in snow. It's so amazing.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It is. You know, you see all these ancient places with snow on
them. See, I've always wanted to go there.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
It's very unusual for there to snow there. But, oh, yeah, going to Israel, to Jerusalem, you would love it.
Yeah,
you would love it. Especially Tel Aviv is such a party town.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, people only go out at midnight, you know?
One of my girlfriends, why is this so funny? Because growing up, like I said, half my neighborhood was Jewish and half of it was Catholic. And all my friends, like really good friends, were all Jewish pretty much.
Right.
So I remember, and my mom's best friend was Jewish. And then her daughter was like, you know, 2-3 years younger than me. Well, actually, a couple years younger than me. So we all, like, hung out all the time. And I remember being so jealous. They were half Jewish and half Catholic.
Yeah.
And so, like, her mother had converted. And they went up, the parents wound up getting a divorce, so they celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah. And I used to be like, bitch, you get double the presents.
Yeah, you get all of it.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
But I remember I used to, like, even all my friends in the neighborhood, I would go over for Hanukkah. I'm like, I want 8 days of presents.
Yeah.
And I remember going over there and, like, they would let me do everything. I went to temple with my friends when I was younger because I so bad wanted to be Jewish.
Yeah. But you know the given presents every day is an American thing. It's not in Israel in Hanukkah you don't do that.
Yeah.
But here I guess they wanted the kids to feel like, you know, not
they
to be too jealous of Christmas and shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they did that, you know. But wow.
But I've always wanted to go to Israel. I mean, I think it is a very ancient place, obviously, and it has a ton of history, no matter what religion, you know.
Exactly. So you have history and you have modern life
spiritual.
And shit. You know, it's amazing. I mean, sometimes you go there and you think you're here, you know, if you go to a mall or something.
I think
the beach.
I'd want to go to the historical places. I remember when, you know, like, I guess, I don't know what age you are, but each person who's Jewish has to go there for, like, their trip or something. Do you know? No?
Well,
all my Jewish friends...
It was called
something. I don't know what it's called, but like after their bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, and a couple years later, they would have to take their spiritual journey to Israel.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it was called, but it was called something.
I think I know something. Okay,
and,
but it's probably for religious people. That's why I'm not that familiar with it.
Okay, so maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they would go, and they used to go on this retreat, and they would come back and just tell me how amazing it was, and like how incredible, and then... my girlfriend wound up getting involved. She worked for the Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So she was doing a lot over there and coming back and forth. And then, you know, wound up coming back. Now she's married with, and she has a baby on the way. Crazy. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, oh my God, I remember when she was in the Peace Corps. And you said, that's crazy.
I know.
But I used to want to do that and go. She was just telling me, like, how amazing it was over there.
Yeah.
So
it really is. You
given
know? I mean,
she can speak, you know, I
Hebrew.
Can't. So that would be weird. I tried.
Why? Everybody speaks English there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Everybody does.
I think it'd be so fun.
Yeah.
I love
you
it.
See, people are smart there, you know, if I do say so myself.
But isn't it dangerous to go there now?
No, not at all. I mean, look, I'm flying. You know, people live. People go. Yeah. No, it's not dangerous at all. Most of the stuff happens, like, across the border. But sometimes there is terrorism. It's just that there's not a lot now, and there's a ceasefire now. So I don't think anything's going to happen. And people just live, you know. You can't live in fear there.
I remember that there, I don't know who it was that was telling me this, but I guess if you fly into Israel, you can't fly into a Muslim country the same year. Did you know that? Or
no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, or was it the same year or the same, maybe it was in the 6-month period. If you, and then it might be vice versa, which is crazy because someone, I don't know who was telling me this, it was someone, I don't remember, but they travel a lot and they were saying how it was became really difficult to do tours or to travel around because... They couldn't go into Israel and then to a Muslim
to
country.
To Egypt or something?
Or, yeah.
I never heard of that.
Yeah. Like, if you go into, like, customs or whatever, they don't allow... They're like, no, you've been there. You can't
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of hatred there, man. They hate the Jews. They've always hated the Jews. I don't know what it is.
So weird.
There's hardly any Jewish people in the world, you know? I mean, what? Like a few million. That's it.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, like maybe 20, you know, 20 million Jews in the world. Not that many.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Jews. Maybe because I feel
like
we're surrounded by a lot of Jewish people here in L.A.
I know,
exactly. Everybody's Jewish. Everybody's a Stein. Or Goldman.
Exactly. So it seems like a lot. But, I mean, Jews are like 2, 3% of the population in America, you know?
Are they?
Yeah.
No.
It's a very, very small percentage.
Well, that's because you got a lot of crazy Southern Baptists. They're taking over.
No, there's just not a lot of Jews in the world. I mean, in Israel, there's only about 6 million, you know.
Hmm.
And it's a very small country. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. Not a lot of Jews. It's just that they have a lot of influence.
Right.
You know? And that's the thing. I mean, maybe that's some of the reason that people don't like Jews, you know, because they manage to stand out in everything, you know. In business and commerce and science
right.
and medicine, you know, all these.
Right.
It's like they're saying that there's been more Jews per capita, I think, or something like that, that have received the Nobel Prize than any other country.
That could be. I could see that.
You know,
like, and I could definitely see. I mean, look at the industry here. I mean, basically with the entertainment industry. All the Jews run the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
No, that's true. That's true, you know?
Yeah.
And because that's how it started, you know, by Jewish people and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, I mean, it's... like, look, like next to Silicon Valley, Israel is the most innovative in technology right now.
Mm.
You know, many of the Intel chips and parts of Windows and things like this, they were developed there. You
Not
know?
China.
Not China.
Not
no.
India.
China is only good in copying shit.
What about our Indian? Our Indian friends that are listening. I'll stop. I'm not good at that. My brother's really good at that.
Really?
Yeah.
In Indian accent?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's really good.
People are funny, you know? But that's a great thing about America. You know, everybody gets together. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's cool. I like it. You know, if I meet like Palestinians here or Arabs and stuff, we're friendly to each other.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's different.
I don't think anyone really cares unless you come from over there and you're like,
yeah.
You know.
No, you care. I mean, you care. But at the same time, we're all human beings, you
right.
know. And if we're not in that land of.
Okay. Would you fall in love if you met someone and they happened to be of the opposite? Like, would
yeah.
you?
I wouldn't want to. If I could help it, I wouldn't. No.
Really?
Just because it would cause trouble, you know.
But what if they're like the most amazing person ever? They're
you know what?
Like,
I never
give
it any thought, so I can't answer it. Maybe I would. I don't know. Maybe I would.
Yeah, because I don't think where you come from should matter.
Yeah.
You know, why?
Right. And besides, no. The thing is, this is that you see, Israelis and Jews do not hate Arabs, but the Arabs really hate the Jews. We're just like we. You know, when someone's trying to kill you all the time, you know.
What if you fell in love with an Arab?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if I did, if she didn't hate me, I'd probably go for it. What the hell?
Exactly, because it's that's the thing. Like, that's what I think is such crap. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're this, or you're Jewish, you're Palestinian, you're Arab, you're black, you're what? Just such crap. Like, still on the East Coast, there mm-hmm. is so much racism still.
Right, I know.
I think that is such bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't explain to you, like, I mean, growing up in Baltimore, like, it's either, like, no one cares,
right.
which is great, or if I go back sometimes and I want to walk around Baltimore City, I can't explain to you how many times people said shit to me. And I'll turn around and be like, I'm not white, I'm Italian, bitch. I got some black up in me. The Moors. Like, anyway, I snap back. I mean, I hate that. I just don't get it. I don't get why people just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, people it comes from insecurity, you know, when you need to feel better about yourself, you put others down, you know, and that's what happens. But no, I mean, the thing is I can genuinely say that Israelis and Jews do not hate Arabs. It's just that they don't like us, mm-hmm. you know. So you have to defend yourself and do whatever you have to do this. So
but this has to stem from somewhere. Like, where was
well,
the originator?
Well, like anti-Semitism. This is just more anti-Semitism. And why has that always existed?
Why do they hate you? Because you guys are so close to them? Or is it because,
no,
like...
No, I think it's because Jews are different, you know, and they always refuse to convert as well.
Yeah, but... Okay, so why don't they hate the Catholics is what I'm saying. Like, why don't
the Jews?
They hate... No, the
oh,
Arabs.
Oh, the Arabs.
Why aren't they attacking like Italy or, you know, France or...
Right.
But I don't get that.
Because they're not different. Well...
Yeah,
oh,
are.
no, but anti-Semitism, I mean, the Jews were also different from Christians and everybody. I mean, don't forget that Christians were persecuting Jews all the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that always over the years, I mean, in biblical times, it was the same shit, you know? You'd have like the Persians.
But it's so weird because it's like it all stems from the same, you know, like thing. Like Jesus was a man who lived back in, you know, in the time who's from Israel,
right.
You know, and it's like.
And he was Jewish.
And it's like, okay, so that is in, you know, that's a Jewish thing and it's also mm-hmm. Christianity. So how can you guys hate each other? It just happens to be two different takes on the story.
Right, yeah.
You know, and Catholics were forced to believe this because of the
yeah.
church, and Jews were, you know, believe what they believe, because it's just, I don't know, I
right.
just don't get why you would hate each other so
right.
much when it
but
all
see,
derives
not,
from the same place.
But that's what I'm saying, but it's not mutual, it's one-sided. I mean, look, as an Israeli and a Jew that has lived for a while, I can tell you they do not teach Jews to hate other religions.
No, I
it
don't believe...
It doesn't happen that
but
way.
But they do teach the Arabs to hate other
yes,
people.
Yes, Muslims.
And I don't...
Yeah. And they used to, you know, maybe not so much in America about Christianity, but there's still a lot of anti-Semitism in Europe. And, you know, I mean, like desecrations of cemeteries and...
Really?
Oh, yeah. In France, a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, but Europe is full of Muslims now, too, so... You know, maybe that's where it stems from. But the thing is that,
maybe.
You know, in Russia and don't forget where the Holocaust happened. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
this is like in Christian countries, you know.
I mean, but that's Hitler. And that,
that's
you know,
Hitler.
That
yeah.
was his there crazy was, ass.
And, yeah, they didn't believe in religion. But yeah, you know, so there's just been this hatred and singling out of the Jews because maybe because they never had a country of their own. They never had really a military or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just always dispersed around the world. And maybe it was easy. I don't know. But now that there's a state of Israel, things have changed, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there's a place for Jews to go and they're not judged. They're not persecuted. And they can be proud,
mm-hmm.
you know. So Israel by necessity has to be very strong militarily, diplomatically, and all that.
Well,
shit,
I always
know?
Thought it was really great, and like I said before, I think it's a huge respect that every single person has to spend what is a year in the military?
Three
years in the military.
Right.
I think you have such respect for people, for
right.
your culture, for your country, for life.
Right.
I think that should be mandatory. Everywhere. I think it should be mandatory absolutely here in the U.S.
Yeah.
I think that if we did that, we would have less, you know, killings in high school and whatnot.
Yeah.
Because you would have a respect for life.
Right.
You would be, you know, going through all this massive crazy training.
Right.
And at some point, maybe put, you know, face to face in a crazy situation where, you know, you obviously they send the young ones out first.
Right.
But it's like, I think it would change the whole dynamic of a lot of hatred and, you know, the crime that happens here in the U.S.
Right, yeah.
I really do believe that.
Yeah, it's just that, you know, the thing is that the West, like Christians, Jews, we celebrate life and Muslims celebrate death. And they say that.
Mm-hmm.
They say that. It's true. You know, all the martyrs and shit and the 72 virgins up there waiting for you and all this stuff. You know, it's like, and they said this in the last clash. Hamas said, you know, as much as you love life, we love death. So there you go. You know, how do you reason with people like that?
You can't. You just blow their country up.
Yeah, it's simple to say, you know. I mean, and Israel could do it 100 times over, but that's not the point.
No.
You know, it's not the point.
But
we're
I'm
human
just
beings.
Saying. I know.
Just bomb the shit out of them. I know. That's always the easiest
answer. Well, I mean, they're the ones that are causing all the shit everywhere.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean, they're the ones that are putting people and teaching them how to make their own homemade bombs and, like,
right.
bringing it over here. And
not only that, in their own countries, you know, I mean, killing women, raping women,
yeah.
you know, treating everybody like shit. you know, I don't know, man. It's pretty. It sucks, man. It really sucks. And you know, but and it's unfortunate because religion has a lot of beautiful things to it.
I agree.
You know,
it's just that
people have made it sort of like, you know, the ideology you can die for and kill for.
It's because they're so stuck back in the day. It drives me insane.
Yeah.
They just can't get out of, like, okay, this is thousands of years ago. Like, this times have changed. Adapt to it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, this was written for, I think, people that were less sophisticated than we are, obviously. They didn't have our technology. They didn't have our advances and everything. They probably didn't have, you know, very good English language to communicate with. So they needed these kind of stories, these kind of morals, these kind of teachings and lessons and stuff, you know. So what I'm saying is that, you know, I think the Bible was written for good reasons, but you can't take it literally today.
No, you can't.
You know, it just doesn't apply.
And people think, and the thing is they're stories. Yeah. They're not even like, people really take it literally, like, this really happened.
Right.
They are tales and stories.
Right.
Of sort of situations or analogies that were written for people to understand back in the day.
Right, and to be able to keep societies together, you know what I mean? So you had to have something like the Ten Commandments, you know, to tell people, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. But, you know, and that still rings true today, you know. I mean, most of our laws are based on those Ten Commandments.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, you got to remember that a lot of these things that, you know what, they also say the stories are not really, you don't take them literally. They're representations of spirituality.
Exactly. That's what. But people like take them literally.
Right.
Like the Southern Baptist crazies, they take them literally.
Yeah.
They really believe like half of it. It's like, oh, God.
I know. You know, so you devote all your life to just like worshiping and fearing and, you know.
I mean.
Yeah. What kind of life is that? You know, I can't imagine like praying 5 times a day, doing this, doing that, you know. And plus, you know, I don't know, call me crazy. I think the people that go to like the yeshiva, which is like a religious class or school or academy or something that you go to and they study Bible all day.
Yeah.
They're not contributing to society at all.
No.
You know, just to themselves. So what's so great about them studying this stuff? Doesn't help me, you know. And then, so like in Israel, for example, there's a big controversy because they claim, you know, that they should be, should abstain from doing military service because they're busy studying by the Bible and stuff, you know.
That's just ridiculous.
It really is, you know, and civilians that, or secular people that go to the military and stuff, and which is everybody, are irritated about this because why do we do our duty and you guys don't?
Yeah, that's crap.
So, yeah, so I don't know about that, you know. But still, they have the freedom to do this if they want to in Israel, which is to worship and feel at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, our guest is not calling. I bet you that she got the time wrong. And that sucks.
That's okay. We have another.
Yeah. That's true, huh?
All good.
Yeah. Did you hear now that they're looking to replace one of the pieces in Monopoly? You know how they have the...
Oh, here we go.
What?
And go ahead.
It's because it's hurting someone's feelings?
No, not at all. I think they're just doing it for promotion and shit, you know?
Okay. I thought it was going to be like, oh, some group is upset that it looks like something and... Here we go.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to bash it.
So, you know, they have a car, they have this, they have that. I don't even remember what they have on there. But they want to replace it. So they're letting people actually vote which piece to retire and which new one to actually adopt.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. So that's a good promotional thing.
Yeah.
You know, I guess they're celebrating like...
How many years?
I don't know. Maybe probably like... 80 years or something. Oh, here comes a phone call.
Okay.
There you go. She saved us. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Shelly.
Hi. This is me.
Yes. Shelly, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And you?
Good. I know you were looking forward to this interview. This is Shelly Ram, and she's calling from where, Shelly? Where are you calling from?
Battle Creek, Michigan.
Oh, you're in Michigan. Wow. How did you end up there? Is this where you grew up?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so you never moved away, huh?
Actually, I did move away. I've been to New York and Detroit and Florida.
Oh, really? Nice. Well, did you work in these places? Is that while you were a dancer?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So I guess there's a lot of travel involved in that, huh? Great career.
Oh, yeah.
Great career. So tell us a little bit. So you were born and raised there in Michigan. And what was your childhood like? Did you have a good family and together and everything?
Actually, my father's side of my family raised me.
Uh-huh.
My stepmom had became my real mom. My birth mother was kind of a alcoholic, so...
Oh, wow.
You know how that goes. Yeah, yeah, she moved away, and my stepmom, she stepped up to the plate.
Really? So she was actually a good mother to you?
She is a great mother still, and she's a great grandmother to my son.
Wow, that's amazing. You mm-hmm. see, I mean, that you know, sometimes you hear stories where the step-parent is not really into the kids and all that, you know, and there's just nothing ever happening. And here she stepped up and mm-hmm. Raised you. That's amazing, yeah. Well, you're very fortunate in that way. So you grew up there and stuff. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. I have a younger brother. His name is Corey.
Uh-huh.
And my older sister and brother, they don't have anything to do with me.
Oh, wow. Geez. So,
yeah. That side of my family is kind of... off on their own, you know.
I see.
I'm not sure what happened to them, but mentally I think they're a little challenged.
Doesn't everybody have that in their family, you know? There's always someone like that, yeah. So you actually ended up in a career as a topless dancer. How did that happen? What were you doing before that?
I used to manage Claire's Boutique in the malls, and I was dancing in dance classes for since I was 5 till I was 17. I was kind of bred for the industry, you know.
Yeah. So you like dancing at an early age.
I kind of wanted to be a dancer really bad.
Yeah. So
once I got my my problem, you know how women are always born with one breast bigger than the other?
I guess.
Well, I had to go get mine taken care of. And after that, it was all history.
Really? So you took care of your breasts, what, to make them equal size?
Yeah.
Oh,
They were really different.
Oh, wow. I guess that can be kind of embarrassing and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you decided to have a boob job and everything, and then you realized, oh, wow, I have nice boobs now. Maybe I should
show
them off to people.
Oh, heck yeah. So, I said, yeah, I'm going to go show them off.
Really? So that's how it happened?
Yeah, that's how it happened.
Wow. So how did you go about it? What did you do? Just walk into a strip club and tell them, you know, I want to do this? Or how did this happen?
Well, my sister, at one point in my life, she had said I could come live with her. And she told me she was a model. Well, that was a lie. She was an outcall.
Yeah.
And so I decided I was going to go and try my luck at being a stripper.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the 8 Mile Club.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the nicer clubs. And they hired me on the spot. They said, you're a natural.
Really? Wow. So you're a dancer. You've got nice boobs and everything. Yeah, we'll take you. So,
well, you know, I wrote that book also, The Life of I-Rock, the Topless
right.
Dancer.
Yes.
Yep, and it's got everything, every bit of my life story in it.
Yeah, well, I know, and we'll tell everybody where to get it and everything. We just wanted to sort of just get a little background on your life and stuff. So you started as a dancer. Were you making a lot of money in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Really, right away,
hand over
fist. Wow. And that made you travel? You were traveling to different cities to dance and stuff?
Oh, yes.
Mm. So, okay.
Yeah, I traveled to New York first. And
uh-huh.
Because, you know, at first I started, like I said, in Detroit, but I traveled from Detroit to New York, and I absolutely loved the New York clubs. They're so much bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so you got a lot more people watching you. So you gave your name a stage name of IROC, and how did you get that name? How did you pick that?
Because she rocks.
Well, Mercedes and Yvette was taken, so I figured IROC.
Yeah. IROC was a kind of a Camaro. I don't know if you know that, Brigetta, but in the 80s, it was like a Z28 Camaro, you know. So that's how you got this. You had to name yourself after a car, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, after the war, when we went to Iraq and we got in war with Iraq,
right.
Well, my stage name, IROC, if they didn't pronounce it right, you know, the DJs.
Right.
Oh, wow.
The IROC.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. So you wrote the book, The Life of IROC, The Topless Dancer. It's by Shelley Ram. Where can people find the book, Shelley?
Publish America has it online. Mm-hmm. You can order it right through them.
Okay. Publishers America, is that what it's called?
Yep, publishamerica.com.
Oh, publishamerica.com, okay.
Yeah.
And do you have a website or anything, or people can just find you on Facebook, Twitter?
You can find me right on Facebook under Shelley Ram, R-A-M-M.
Okay, and you're definitely beautiful. I get to see your pictures and everything. So not nude, but nevertheless. At what point did you leave the industry?
I left it 5 years ago.
Okay.
I left it because I had gotten pregnant.
Oh, I
see. And I was told that I was never going to be able to have a kid. I had been abused so bad by so many exes that I had been with, like an idiot. I stayed, you know.
Wow.
And so I ended up with a lot of surgeries to get him here, and he's been a joy in my life.
Aww.
But he has been my little inspiration to write my book.
Yeah.
To make women aware of what they got to go through, you know.
Yeah. So you wouldn't recommend this to other women, huh, to become a dancer?
Well, you know, I would, but with the right frame of mind.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
The right frame of mind. You know, don't go in there acting like, you know, you're all that, because you know what? There's always somebody better looking.
Right.
There always is. It's just like, you know, men.
Yeah.
You know, there's always somebody better looking, or there's always somebody stronger, you know?
Yeah.
And me, I just figured, hey, I felt good enough that, you know, I felt average enough to be able to do what I did, and
right.
I kind of was shocked that I got to stand up next to some of the prettiest girls in the whole wide world.
I guess, yeah. Now, did that lead you to be sexually active too during that period, or were you before that?
Oh, I can tell you, I was more into sex. I put it this way, I'm a sex addict.
Are you really?
I'm not gonna lie about it.
Yeah.
I'm a sex addict. I was a drug addict at one point in my life too.
Mm.
And I beat that.
Yeah.
I beat that so fast because I had my kid.
Yeah.
He was worth making my life a total 180.
Yeah. That's definitely. I mean, that's you know, that's inspiration there. That will ground you quickly, having a kid.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, much congratulations to you on everything. That's like great that you turned your life around, and like, you know, now it's all about your child and you have this book. That's great.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. So, well, thank you so much, Shelley. And the book, again, is The Life of IROC, and that's IROC, The Topless Dancer. The author is Shelley Ram, and you can find her, Shelley Ram, on Facebook as well. Get in touch with her. Get the book. It's a pretty entertaining book. I started reading it, and Shelley says it's very funny, too. So we'll have to check it out.
You know, Sam, yes. I'm looking for somebody with any kind of movie deals for my book.
Okay.
Because I've already got another one already ready to go and publish, the second book that follows this one.
Sounds
and
good.
I'm looking for somebody that's a real good producer.
Okay, well, definitely. This is the place to be right here in L.A. So if there's a producer listening, please contact Shelley. You've got a good movie and a good script right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shelley. Well, thank you so much. And
thank you so much too, you know.
Of course.
I appreciate it.
Of course, no problem. You have an interesting story and we wanted to talk to you. So we'll be in touch on Facebook, Shelley.
All right.
Thank you, and you both have a lovely year. God
thank
bless
you.
You
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, people have stories, man. Yeah. You know?
Everyone's got a story.
Yeah, that's good. That's why I love being on radio. And then we go, here comes the second guest, so you're going to have to introduce mm-hmm. them to us. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey.
Good morning, guys. Landon Cooper, Miles the Guest.
How are you?
Yes, Landon. Good morning.
So,
welcome to the show.
You need to tell us this crazy story of how you got involved in this, because you're running 3,000 miles. This is crazy.
Yeah, I think the craziest story is the fact that I just survived Winter Storm Godolphin in Utah last night.
Really?
I have no idea anything about that.
I didn't
storm?
Really name winter storms. I thought they only named hurricanes, but apparently
right.
not. Miles to Give is it's an organization that raises funding for sarcoma cancer research through cross-country ultra running. We kick off our tour February 14th in San Francisco. We'll cover 150 days for 3,000 miles. And
wow.
our last stop will be Ocean City, Maryland on July 13th, 2013.
Wow. So this is like, 6 months, right? 150 days.
Yeah, 5 months. I can't do the math.
Yeah, 5 months. 150 days is 5 months. Wow. Five months of running every day.
So how many miles do you run per day? And then I guess you guys have like hotels and whatnot that you guys are sponsored by and all that, right?
Yeah, well, yes and no, no and yes. We're going to be doing about 21 miles a day.
Wow.
I'll do 10 to 11 miles in the morning, and then I'll have events, meet and greets with town mayors, high school principals, cancer survivors, hospital visits, and then we'll get back on the road after that and cover the rest of the tour. But, you know, the tour is set up to where it's never a clock in and clock out to the emotion, which is relative to the fight against cancer. So in those patients, those people that lost a family member, they need a relative hero. So when it comes to lodging, I've got a great team that's going to be on the road with me. My tour director, Ryan Priest, he'll be driving the RV, and my online consultant is pretty much kind of my stuck-on-you partner, kind of my other 80% of who I am, Ryan Bonhart. So so basically, the RV is going to be driving about 5-6 miles in front of me. I'll meet up. There'll be kind of a NASCAR pit stop, and then we'll just kind of carry on. That's
style. Wow.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty good. Yeah, because you can't get motels in the middle of the desert and stuff, you know, or up in the mountains.
Well, the great thing is, you know, we have a great team of, I have a great team, and I have a great team of sponsors. Our main sponsor, GroupIra.com out of Tacoma, Washington. We have BlueEnergy.com. We have Swedish Athletic Apparel line that's given us our compression pants and shorts. Called Ork Bite. We have Mint Clothing in Denver, and we also have Ultimate Direction. So we have a lot of great support from a lot of great companies, a lot of great people. So without them, this, you know, certainly wouldn't be possible.
Right.
Wow.
How many runners are going to take part of this?
You are speaking to the only one.
Oh my God!
Really?
Are you serious?
And that's what I was asking, Bajetta.
I didn't know. I thought there'd be a few of you doing it.
Wow!
Holy crap!
Holy crap, man!
It's a rare alumni to be in a 3,000-mile man club. I spoke to a friend of mine recently. She ran across the country 2 years ago. She was only the 16th female to run across the country.
Wow.
So it's a lot of people start it, not a lot of people finish it. But, you know, like I said, this is a pursuit to give and inspire. So we're gonna raise at least $100,000 for sarcoma cancer research, and then obviously we're going to inspire countless people around the world. So that's our mission.
Very inspiring.
Wow, that's
absolutely
huge.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Okay, now I even think you're even crazier than my crazy friend.
Well, you know, I read this bumper sticker once that said those are the people that change the world. And, you
that's
know,
true.
For me, it's not so much about me. It's about the people that I believe in that I can bring on board on my team. It's about the companies that are behind me, and it's about those people that can change their lives or either save their lives. And I'm just doing my part. I'm just the runner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just the runner. And at the end of the day, you know, I was deeply affected by my friend that I lost from sarcoma cancer. April 2011, my friend Ashley Davis died of his cancer. So for the past year and a half, I've been running these races all over the country, East Coast, West Coast. And, you know, as I kept going, running half marathons, marathons, ultra marathons, it was getting a little bit better. And then I started to notice that my fan base from my previous soccer life and my fan base from my previous industry life combined with my running life I noticed that can really impact a lot more people on a global level with informing people on what this cancer is and what more we can do about it through my passion of running, through my passion of inspiring others.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so according to my calculation, you're running a marathon every day. Isn't that it?
Just under. We'll be putting in a marathon basically from Chicago to D.C., you know, because we want to make our we're going to bring this straight to the nation's capital. You know, one of the underground things we're working on right now is to develop July being Sarcoma Cancer Awareness Month. So it's a kind of a win-win for us to arrive in there and celebrate with our country and our fans on our nation's Independence Day. But the average is about 21. We're just going to pick up the pace a little bit more because obviously you can imagine by then I'm getting a little hungrier for the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I would imagine. Wow, man. I mean, that's really like a long-term commitment, and I salute you for this, man. I don't think many people could do this, you know. So it's definitely inspiring, and I understand how you picked that charity because of your friend dying, I guess, and or that cause that you picked. And
I got lucky. You know, the fact that, you know, there's people that come in your life in a flash and they stay or they stay in your mind. And Ashley stayed for me spiritually. Her spirit stayed with me in my running and she's always in my mind. So I got lucky to run a race for her a year before she died in Phoenix, Arizona on February 14th, 2010. And the last thing I heard from her family was when she died in her room, she was staring at the race medal and the race bib that we presented her to let her know that, you know, we're there for her and we, you know, we want her to fight on. So the fact that we're kicking off our tour on the day that we ran our last one for her while she was alive is kind of relative to the message of love and the message of inspiration we're trying to spread here.
Yeah, amazing. Well, so do you have a website for this? Can people follow you?
Absolutely. Yeah, all of our fans and friends and family and anyone with a company or anyone that knows a company or any individuals that want to support our cause or become a sponsor of our journey, please go to miles2give.org. Two is in the number two. Once you go there, you can go to our donate page, and there's a couple levels of supporting our cause. We don't start taking donations for our $100,000 goal until February 14th.
Uh-huh.
So, and from now until then, we have a lot of events coming up for media and things like that. One fun thing we do have coming up January 31st in Pelham, Alabama, we actually have a Miles to Give fundraising concert being put on. And we've got rock acts, acoustic acts, country acts. We'll have radio, TV there. We have about 6,600 invites so far on our Facebook alone. So this thing is gaining steam every day, and one of our goals is with every amazing radio team and radio family we talk to, we'd love to be able to keep calling every week, kind of the Where's Waldo effect of, you know, where's Landon, you know.
Right, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So now, do you genuinely enjoy running, or do you do this?
I mean, you know, you got running therapist now.
Yeah, you got. I mean, you gotta love it, you know. I mean, to do something like this.
Yeah. No. I. You know, my underground. You know, was I played soccer for 28 years, and so I was always running from something or running to something, and you know, for me, running is probably the second most spiritual thing we can do as human beings, and you know, it's a place where you lose yourself and you find yourself. And the fact that you carry that mentality as well as carrying the purpose of why I'm running now it's a heavier responsibility that I feel very proud of.
Yeah. Well, wow. Amazing. And you must be very proud of yourself and obviously your family and friends, because it's something, you know, unique. I mean, not many people would do something like this. It sounds like totally insurmountable to me.
I think it's great. And I didn't realize you were the only one. And, you know, I will help you any way that I can.
Yeah.
Since I'm queen bee of PR.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that I know, Bruschetta. That I know. I appreciate the love, and I appreciate the you guys allowing us to bring our message to your audience there in Los Angeles, California. You know, for me, the thing I'm most proud of is, you know, being able to change my lifestyle and to quit a corporate life and to focus on my greater purpose, and then to see my team and to see my sponsors really just kind of magnetize towards what we're doing and elevating them. You know, because for me, like I said, it's not about me; it's about promoting them and lifting them to higher places than where they are, and I just feel very honored to be the torchbearer of that positive force.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Everybody go to milestogive.org, and that's the number two. Of course, you have a website with sound in it. And it happens to me every time, you know, I open up a website of a guest, it starts playing something. So, so Miles to Give, that's the number 2.org. Find out everything. And thank you so much and all the best to you.
Guys, thank you very much. And please keep up with our journey. Maybe you guys can join us in the San Francisco leg. Do your radio show up there for February 14th.
Sounds good, man.
I'm skiing then, but I will wish you the best.
But February 14th, that's also Valentine's Day, appropriately enough, I guess.
I'll be skiing in Colorado.
Yeah.
Woo! But I wish you the best. And anything that we can do, you let me know.
Brisetta, Sam, I appreciate your time. And thank you so much. And stay tuned for our journey.
Awesome, man.
Absolutely.
We'll be following you. Thanks again, man. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye. That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I know.
I don't know that I would drive a car 3,000 miles.
Oh, I've done that.
No,
yeah, but
no,
this
I'm
is,
kidding.
This is,
but,
him. He's
but imagine just, bicycle, for example. You know, it's still. To run this, I mean, can you imagine, you know, he's going to have all these uphills and stuff?
Oh, that's.
Wow.
He's up for challenges.
Yeah.
But
obviously.
I think it's incredible.
Wow. I mean, like, what do you do in your life after you do something like this? I mean, it's like the ultimate achievement, you know?
It's such a great achievement. Like, I mean, oh my God, like, wow, for real. But I didn't realize he was the only one. So he's going to get so much PR from it, or he needs to hire someone to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think the television networks would want to follow something like
right?
this. I mean, it's a unique story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, you know. That's the way it is, man. Do you remember we talked about the 70-year-old man who married a 14-year-old in Saudi Arabia and stuff? And she ran away and all that. Well, I guess he's been granted a divorce now.
Oh, yay.
But people are saying that, you know, it's like he wanted the divorce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he didn't have it all made there. But they're saying that he says he's 70, but they believe he's 86.
You know? Oh, disgusting.
And
I
he
am
said,
so
And he said
out.
He told CNN he thought the bride was 25.
Bullshit.
So it's okay for 86 and 25. But at least, at least she would have been a consenting adult, you know?
Oh, my God. I'm just, puke. Yeah.
Pay $20,000 as a dowry for her.
God, it's disgusting.
Yeah. But her parents took her back. Well, he deserves that shit.
Yeah.
What can I tell you, you know?
Anyway.
Yeah. Check out this thing. Oh, with the flu. Have you heard how bad the flu is this season?
I have heard. And, like, doctors are at the point where everyone's wearing masks everywhere. Everywhere. And they're at the point where they're just giving out medicines left and right because they don't have time to test everybody.
Right, exactly.
Insane.
And they always run short of
like, the epidemic is crazy. And then there's, like, another... disease too that's going around. I'm like, that's just insane. So.
Yeah, they're saying it's, you know, it's pretty widespread now, more than it has been in a long time. 29 states.
Wow.
And 20 children have died from it this year.
So crazy.
I know, because, you know, kids can fight it less effectively, I guess, that their body is not as immune to these kind of things. But, man, that's scary stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're telling you it's not too late to get flu shots, so you can still get them, but it does take a while for it to start working.
I don't think I want that shit in my body.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't believe it works, but maybe it does. Who knows? I think if it worked, everybody would get it.
Yeah.
No? What do you think?
I don't know. I think it affects people differently.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to inject things in my body that I think could make it worse when I'm not going to get sick. So
okay.
I'll be fine.
All right. Finally, this I thought was interesting. There's a town called Williston, North Dakota. And I guess what happens there is a lot of job seekers are going there to try to get a job there with the oil companies and so forth. And when they don't make it, many of them become homeless. So what the city decided to do is to raise money, or this charity, raising money to send the people back home.
What?
Yeah, they're saying, oh, you came here to be homeless? Well, we don't want you. Here's a one-way ticket.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. you came here, you didn't make it. Go back.
Get away.
Yeah, leave us alone. We don't need homeless people here.
Pretty hilarious, actually.
But they're doing it. What are you going to say? Anyway, great show today. Have a great weekend. I'm going to be relaxing. Do you have anything you're going to do?
I am filming this weekend. I also will be watching the Ravens kick the Broncos' ass.
Oh. Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. At 1:30
our time. I'll have to watch this to know
yes.
if to even show up here on Monday or not.
Yeah. You never know. I might find a shotgun and go crazy. Yeah. Ah, I'm kidding. But I'm just like, the whole gun law thing, I was watching this thing yesterday, and I'm like, just shut up. Just everyone just shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's no right answer for it. That's no. Right. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.